Christian radio program. 503-733-2970. Rick, for the love of God, quit talking about bags.
The sacks, sir.
It's killing my soul. Here's another one. Rick, are you messing with us? Those plastic things that come inside a shirt collar aren't trash? I figure after you removed all the pins and cardboard and stickers, you took those out and tossed them too. I don't think so. I think they're supposed to stay in.
I would throw them away. I mean, if there's little pieces of plastic.
But I think they're there. I think you leave them in.
We got to stop this now.
Or
you know why?
You can take them out before you put them in the machine and then put them back in afterwards. Because a lot of times they do come out the dryer.
We have to stop this now.
You know why? Because this will be the next. Collar stays will be the new, what kind of sack should I ask for?
Pardon me, sir.
When you give me that sack, when the guy offers to give me,
sad sacks.
I was going a different way. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's see here. Rick, if you really want to impress the minimum wage counter jockeys with your insightful and bleeding heart ways, then say, neither. I've brought my own, and then whip out your canvas sack.
Sir, can I? Whole Foods on the front of it?
Yeah, totally. That says, you know, that says like Alberta Street Bike Gallery. All right, and so forth. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Jim Roop. We have Gary Baumgarten, and so forth. No, I don't think so, Scotty. No. No? Okay, I'll flip a coin. Scotty is saying you have to take these final two calls about sacks. I'm going to flip a coin right now. All right. I swear to God, you know what? This is funny. This happens to talk radio sometimes. I'm looking at lines 3 and 4 here. And you know what the names are?
John and Jeff?
John and Wayne. John Wayne. John on 3, Wayne on 4. Scotty's typing, these comments will not wait. All right, fine. I'm going to flip a coin. Heads, I take these calls. I don't take these calls. Scotty, you break the news to them that their thoughts on sacks will never be known. Heads. All right. All right. John, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. John.
Hey, we're...
We got a break there. Yes?
I'm glad Fazer plays with me and I got the top. Anyway, it's a simple question. Which do you prefer, trees or oil? Because that's what they're made out of.
Well, what do you... So do you mean if I hate trees, I should use paper?
No, if you... No.
To get rid of them? I hate these trees.
Well, whatever. I look at it from my point of view is trees are around here and I don't like Texans. And so, there you are.
Okay, no, that's a fair point. I'm glad we took that. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's John. And final call ever. May God strike me blind if I'm lying on this subject. Wayne, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, hey, it's good to be listening again. Long time listener, but from a long time ago. Best show ever, man.
Especially this topic. That really is what put us over the top here today.
It's so hot. Listen, I want to give an eco-friendly. I want to give an eco-friendly shout out to all my Birkenstock owning, natural fiber wearing, recycled chai tea latte, organic sipping. I used my coffee grounds twice and then put them on the tomatoes. Tree huggers out there.
Yes.
You know, it's a sad thing when people don't just realize the bottom line is it's a consumer's world. And the answer to the question is the best sack to get is the one you want most for the job you need it. If I'm packing lunches, I want the plastic. And if I just want some crap to go burn out in the burn barrel, hell, you know what? The paper bags get that fire started just fine.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
You call us anytime. Remember, there's also a website, the Film and Bag Federation. Please stop. That gives you a choice. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Paper and plastic, decision for today's grocery shopper. Hey, look over there.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Calories and snow
more showers will taper off this afternoon. And with air temperatures reaching the mid-40s, it should fully transform into plain showers by this afternoon.
It was snowing up at the hill up at OHSU this morning, which is weird, and because I had this
maybe
weird...
they'll shut down the tram again.
Oh, man. Boy.
Tangling in limbo.
Did they...
Help me, please.
I'm sure glad we're on the tram. Which tram was it? Was it Meanie or Miney or the Heckler Jekyller? Whatever the hell. What are those things called? John and Yoko? What are the trams called?
John and Jeff.
John and Jeff. What were the trams?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Nain and a Jad and something?
Heckle and Jekyll.
Spanky and I don't know. Whatever. I mean, so one, that's, that had to have been under the day. Were they closed them because of ice or because
45
of...
45-mile-an-hour winds. Triggering the ship down. The tram did the right thing by shutting down in the high winds, and they'll do it again if they have to.
Oh, can you
and
imagine...
It could be you.
Being halfway between... How, what kind of a drop is that? You would die, first of all, if you fail. There's no two ways about that. You'd die.
Are those cars padded by any chance?
Oh, no. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't, yeah, because it would shatter, and you'd be impaled and yes. splattered. I hate gondolas. Like, I, oh. Because there's one of the tallest ones, highest ones in the world in Washington State.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Where does it go?
I don't know. I think it's up near, I think it was up near Leavenworth. I went to it when I was in college.
Is Leavenworth that
so
prison?
It's so scary. It's like jagged, we're going over jagged mountaintops. And it's swaying. One of my friends thinks it's really funny that I'm scared and starts to rock it a little.
I think that maybe if I was a smarter person, those things wouldn't scare me because I just look at that thin-ass wire.
It's just a little hook.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then you're on this thing that weighs thousands of pounds filled with a bunch of American fat asses. And you're just sitting there going, this is good. It's going to snap. And I'm going to plummet. It's like every time I'm going over the Ross Island Bridge in traffic. It's not when I'm going over the bridge, it's when traffic stops on the bridge and we're just sitting there. And I'm thinking, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds, there are tons and tons of weight on this bridge that's just been sitting here for like 50 years. We're all going to die. And then I just start to have
including the people in the vehicles.
A slow panic attack. So, anyway, no, but up, I had that weird flashback on the OHSU hill this morning because I had to take Laura to work. And there's snow all over, and I was just starting to think about that time in January when I nearly died and slid off the hill. It was all bad. So, I hope that's done. All right.
Meanwhile, some fellow led Portland police on a low-speed chase. Come on, do it right. Make it a high-speed chase. Do it L.A.'s. A low-speed chase really doesn't count.
Never going to get ratings with a low-speed chase.
Anyway, Daniel Guardiola is accused of ramming police cars after leading officers on a low-speed chase. They tried to stop the wanted suspect, and then he took off and led them on that low-speed chase near I-5 and Southeast Powell. I don't even think they were near each other. Anyway, the suspect spun out, got caught in the dirt, ran three police cars. Then they tased the man and took him into custody, but officers had to wait to seize the car because there was a pit bull inside, and animal control had to be called out. He is charged with one attempt to elude a police officer, one count of reckless driving, and three counts of criminal mischief.
Where was this?
In Southeast Powell.
Really? What? The Southeast Powell and what?
It says I-5.
Southeast that Powell can't be I-5. Where would that? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I guess that's somebody didn't write that here. Properly.
Oh, that could be.
Because the Ross Island Bridge.
Yeah. I guess. I'm trying to
but
think of where...
26 and I-5.
Where
would
they...
don't even touch.
There would... See, now I'm afraid to talk about anything. This is the irony. Listen to what I'm about to say. Listen to the irony. This is like when the guy was just talking about the... Whatever the hell that guy was talking about a minute ago that I didn't want to bring up. Because I'm like, no, no, no. If we talk about that, people are just going to call this program, and then we'll have discussions with them. We don't want people calling this talk radio show. What I don't want is for listeners pick up the phone and call in on things. Well, I guess I am curious about that. Powell and I-5.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't even become Powell until you cross into Southeast, right?
Correct.
Because you go... Because
it's the Ross Island Bridge, then Powell.
Because if you're going, whatever that is, if you're going west on Powell, you go over the Ross Island Bridge and it becomes, what, Capitol Highway or something? Right? Isn't that the thing? You go right over the Ross Island Bridge and if you don't turn to go downtown, it becomes the Capitol Highway. Isn't that what it turns into?
I believe so, yes.
Well, whatever. I want to know if there was it in my neighborhood. That's the whole thing. I want to know if the cops... I want
maybe
to
maybe go through your neighborhood.
I want to. That's what I'm curious about. I want to know if there was this... Why should it just be the guy who walks along singing to himself late at night?
Oh,
I want to know if there was a low-speed chase past my house. That's all I really care about. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, let's go on to this Anna Nicole Smith business, shall we? Pneumonia, not the drug overdose killed Anna Nicole Smith. Who said? The National Enquirer. Well, that's enough for me. The National Enquirer's preliminary findings reveal that tests performed during the autopsy showed Anna Nicole had a severe case of pneumonia. Her drugs made the condition worse and played a role in her death. A full toxicology report has not yet been completed. So it's very close to the death investigation. 70 prescription drugs mask the seriousness of her pneumonia. She reportedly had been hospitalized for pneumonia in the Bahamas after her son died. This time, the painkillers Anna Nicole was taking masked her symptoms and quickly had, well, deadly effect.
Well, that wasn't, that's just going to be anticlimactic.
I don't believe that. She didn't have pneumonia.
Sarah, that's not true. No one gets that.
No, if she was seeing staggering through the hotel bar, vomiting on herself, like, that doesn't sound like pneumonia symptoms. That sounds like a woman with a drinking problem.
Well, then a man who claims to be a longtime friend says the model suffered from lupus.
Lupus?
Lupus. Her condition was revealed to this friend in 1998 and asked him to promise he would never tell anybody about it. So lying like they all do, he says he's now speaking out.
Well done, sir. Way to honor your code. Way to
lupus
be
a disease in which guy. The body's immune system attacks its own organs and tissues and can result in achy, breaky joints, fever, fatigue, and kidney problems. There's no known cure for the disease, so you might as well die. So she did.
That is the cure.
Oh, she did.
She's having a lot of aches and pains throughout her life and her body. She was just shut down, basically, and would sleep for days. Anna once pulled me aside and told me she was on medication.
Really? I bet that was a shock to everybody. Oh. I'm on drugs? Really? No.
Come on. Pneumonia? You can't tell me you buy that, Rick.
I don't. I don't, but I mean, maybe I'm not saying she didn't have pneumonia.
I'm sure that was one of the many things that she had. I'm just saying that's probably not what killed her.
Scabies. My whole thing about the pneumonia is that I just hope that didn't kill her, because what an anticlimax that would be. You know what I mean? That's like when they say, well, she had some, congenital.
She stubbed her toe on the kitchen table.
Yeah, well, it's like that John Ritter thing. You know, he had a heart problem, dies. Well, I mean, you know, whatever. That's not interesting.
Well,
pneumonia, I mean, water in your lungs is an uninteresting way to go. Unless you're bloated at the bottom of a swimming pool. So, I mean, you know, that's, well, whatever. So, and she was vomiting up a bunch of white liquid before she died.
Yeah, it was all. Ugh.
I don't know what kind of space alien pneumonia that would be. So.
And there were witnesses who were staying in the hotel that saw her drinking all day.
She had lupus. Achy, breaky. I get the idea that you want.
Lupus doesn't sound like a disease you could still get.
I thought a lupus was like a rabbit.
It sounds like something Michael J. Fox would get.
You thought a lupus was a rabbit?
Isn't that.
Oh, no, you're thinking of a lop rabbit.
No, and
the ones with the long ears. That fall down lengthwise?
No, I'm not thinking of that.
What type of rabbit are you thinking of?
That makes sense to me. It seems like you'd be thinking about that kind of rabbit.
How many rabbits come to mind?
What are you talking about? Stop it now. So you're just walking along.
We're trying to visualize the rabbit of your imagination.
So if lupus, are you just you walk along and your hips just disintegrate while you're on your way to the store or something? That seems like a bad thing to have. All right. My grandmother had that, but I don't think she broke a lot of stuff. Well, maybe she did. I don't know.
Your grandmother had lupus?
Yeah. And now she's dead. I don't know.
Oh, she was the mean one. Though.
Horrible. Horrible.
Well, her organs were eating themselves. So
really? See, that makes me feel good. It does. It warms my heart a little bit. Let's see. Fantastic. So while she was beating me with a stick as a child, her kidneys were disintegrating. There you go. That's a little give and take. A little wash for you. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, our low-speed chase took place at 205.
Oh, I can.
205.
Okay, so
that makes sense.
So, like, that's like at 120 second or whatever?
Yeah, around about there.
All right.
That sounds it was right. On the news because it was caught on tape.
Yeah, but I mean, a low-speed chase. That's pussy. Right. I mean, come on. I mean.
But it was local, so you're like, hey, I know that place. Look at we go. Hey, they're going the wrong way.
I had a friend of mine, actually, I think it was my friend Jesse that did this, where he was watching Cops, and he's like, hey, I know, that's Portland. Woo-hoo! Hey, that's my neighborhood. Hey, that's my neighbor. You know, and it's like, and they literally kicked in, like, the door, like, across the street and one down from it was a meth house. So, fantastic.
That's going to change neighborhood relations forever.
No, it's true. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, by the way, we just found out that stocks are bouncing back. So today would be a good day to buy that stock in bags that you've been planning on.
Okay. Oh, apparently, let's see. Lupus is an autoimmune disease that leads to chronic fatigue syndrome. Apparently, a lupus is a rabbit. That's the thing. A lupus.
A lepus?
Not lupus, but a lepus is a rabbit.
Because it leaps around.
No. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the decision could go... Excuse me a moment.
I hope it's not lupus.
Mm.
I hope that's not pneumonia.
No. But that is, it's... Well, it's from riding on the mobile leper colony. And pick up something new every day.
I feel you.
Cohort.
Fantastic.
It's impossible to heal up when you ride public transportation. There's always something new to catch. Of course, you can't be cured.
Your immune system never really has time to fully recover.
People drag the dirtiest stuff on there. I had the hugest homeless woman sit next to me on the bus yesterday who had 3 garbage bags full of cans.
Oh.
And she kept sticking them on me.
And they don't start coughing till all the other seats are full in your cup there.
And then one person
gets up. Nobody coughs on an empty Mac.
And there are all these seats, and one small person gets up and leaves a gap of about a foot, and then you see this enormous ass coming toward you, and someone tries to squeeze in. And they always do.
And it's just, no.
They look like one of the Scotty Circus animal crackers.
Well, I think we're okay now.
No. Let me ask you this. One of our endless tirades about public transit in Portland, which seems to be a recurring theme lately. Do you hate these people?
I hate them all.
I knew the answer was yes before I even told you.
Every single one of them. Friends are nowhere to be found on public transportation.
Before I even asked, I knew that we would all answer with a resounding C. Let me not ask, do you hate these people?
I'm saving the earth from global warming, and I am paying the price.
let me just inform you about another person that we hate. I hate these people, and they're on the bus. And it's these people that they will, because the seats on either side of the aisle, they see two people on either side of the aisle. They'll sit, though, on the outside of the two-person seat with then their bag on the inside so as to prevent you. It's like a seat. It's like a seat blocking, but it's seat blocking. You know what I mean? And so it's like a two-person seat. They'll sit towards the aisle, and then they'll just put their purse or whatever there to keep you from... And you know what? I order those people to move over. Like, if I see somebody...
Yeah, right.
I do. I mean, unless it's like a huge person who could clearly kill me, or somebody who looks like he might be carrying a knife. No, I was on a bus, not recently, but I mean, the last time I remember this, I get on a bus, and there's just some woman, just some skank who's there sitting there, and she just doesn't want to share. She's just being obnoxious about it, and so she's sitting on the outside, and the bus is relatively full. That's the thing. It's not like there's lots of seats. There's already people standing up, holding the little strappy things, holding the bar. And it's because this woman is taking up both seats herself. And it's not like she... And the thing is, if you sit in near the window, you know, then somebody can just come and sit down next to you. She's done this thing of blocking it by sitting in the seat near the aisle and putting her bag on the other seat. And so I just said, pardon me, can you move over? And, like, every eye in the bus, like, turned to stare at her. And she was shamed. And shamed! Shamed, I say.
Maybe she needs extra room because she has a box of chicken wings in her purse and she's gonna lick her fingers.
Well, is that the kind of, I would rather stand than sit next to that kind of person anyway.
No, but I like to inconvenience people like that.
But you want to be stuck. Ugh,
if you're preemptively obnoxious to me, I'm going to do everything I can to make your life difficult. Can inconvenience you in every way possible. And I should have sneezed at her too. All right. Just to fit into the spirit of things. So nobody would have batted an eye. I would have fit right in on that bus.
I forgot my headphones today, but yesterday it saved my life. Because riding the bus home,
You should just walk into the bus with your fingers deep in your ears. That should be your thing. When you don't have them, just make no... Don't even try to hide it. Don't even do the feigning like you're listening to the Walkman. Just walk on with your fingers deep in your ears, your pointer fingers, and then just shake your head side to side slowly when somebody looks at you. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's take a little break from these public transportation stories and get back to the interesting story of the corpse of Anna Nicole Smith. The decision could come today in the legal battle of when and if she gets buried. Speaking on the courthouse steps, Reggie Arthur's attorney, Roberta Mangle, said there's a possibility she may take the case to the Florida Supreme Court.
If there's an opinion and there's case law, then either side, depending, of course, if there's any validity, has the opportunity to go further to the Florida Supreme Court.
We all need to keep a positive attitude about this.
This court has recognized the urgency in this, so I have no crystal ball, but I know that they will reach a decision as quickly as they can.
Well, they have to. Or they're just going to be burying her in some time, like a Ziploc bag or something. All right. Susan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Susan. Love your program.
Thank you.
Paper or plastic?
The call from the fella about the car chase.
Yes.
I'm a nurse on the way home last night, 122nd, go right by Powell every night, about 1 in the morning, about 7 blocks, roadblock, 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 cops all over the place. So maybe there was 2 things going on.
Really? So
but
maybe
you knew there was, and they were still coming.
So
the cops were still coming.
Wait, so this is, when was this slow speed chase, Tim?
I don't have the correct time, I'm sorry.
I clocked out about 10 to 1 on the way home in the morning.
I'm wondering, this is the same incident or a separate incident?
Maybe different, maybe he had a brother.
Oh, that could be. I don't have a specific time on this.
All right, it was probably that.
There we go. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Susan. You call us anytime.
Oh, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. No, thank you. Look at that, Susan. Yes, yeah, Scotty, he was cop blocked. The guy.
That is the most amusing thing to you. I've heard you substitute that word with so many other things and then blocked and then giggle to yourself maniacally. It was computer blocked.
It's true. The driving guy was cop blocked. It's like when we were talking about that guy, Mike, the TriMet driver who was straddling the MAX line with his bus, and so nobody could get through. And we were noting that he was a bus plug. Come on, that's funny. That's comedy right there. Comedy in distilled form. All right. Let's see. Here's Tim.
Well, the Bahamas just aren't for sunbathing, golfing, and gambling anymore. Visitors are now anxious to tour the sites connected with the death of Anna Nicole Smith. Taxi drivers say passengers who disembark from cruise ships are constantly asking for the Anna Nicole tour. The first stop begins at the hospital where her son Daniel died. The tour then weaves up the cemetery where the son's body is buried, an unmarked grave with a form of model could be buried. The highlight of the tour is Horizons, the beachfront home on the island's eastern end that the former Playboy playmate shared with companion Howard K. Stern, which he now shares with Smith's infant daughter.
Daniel is dying tonight on a floor. La la la. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's really too late. It's not that that's too soon. That's way too late. That would have been funny about 8 months ago. Well, it's still funny to me now. That's what matters. And Horizons, by the way, sounds like a rehab.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Let's do one more and then we'll break, because our good friend Gary Baumgarten is going to be calling us here in just a short while.
Well, controversial Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington has a new man in his life. It has been learned that Washington signed the PR crisis expert Howard Bragman and his company 15 Minutes. Bragman started 15 Minutes PR in 2005 after selling out to another company. Interestingly, Bragman is openly gay and is the man responsible for the wildly successful launch of NBA center John Amici's best-selling book, Man in the Middle. Bragman is known for telling it like it is to his clients, and Isaiah will be no exception. So,
yeah, we're all stunned by that. I'm all stunned by the fact that a homophobic bigot retained a gay man as his representative. Because just like I was stunned that Michael Richards retained a Jewish man as his consultant, we're all amazed when these things happen. Just like we were amazed when Isaiah Washington went into rehab in the first place. So, all right. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick. What I like to do on the C-Tran, where everyone's hair is their own business, is to get on and sit right next to someone. The bus is completely empty, except for me and the person whose personal space it is that I'm violating.
I know that person.
He says, that's how you inconvenience people, Rick. And then he signs it, I like your show as a friend, Paul. All right. Well, that's funny.
That is funny.
I'm going to steal that.
Oh,
and relatable. Yeah. I don't know how I would use it, though.
I like your shirt as a friend.
Yeah, see, that's like the get your lawn off my body thing. I like your shirt as a friend.
It's funny.
The get your lawn off my body is funny, just because you don't understand it. Just because my humor is too highly developed. You don't have to, you'll find that funny someday. All right.
Wow, that sounded like Bruce Agnew in it. Even the pointing.
You know that you're slowly morphing into him.
Even the, really?
You were angrily pointing and sitting back in your chair.
You'll find it funny someday. You don't understand. You'll someday. You'll know.
Sweet Lord.
And then do the thing where I waggle both my hands sideways.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah. I do that pretty well, actually. Well, you know, when I do that impression of Bruce Egler, who is our godlike former program director, just like everybody who impersonates George Bush in Bush 41, everybody who impersonates George Bush the first, you're not really doing George Bush. You're doing Dana Carvey doing George Bush. That's like a given. Nobody really knows how to impersonate George Bush except Dana Carvey. And so when we do it, like Fast and Points of Light, and I gotta, we're all just doing Dana Carvey. When I do that Bruce Agler thing, I'm not really doing Bruce Agler. I'm doing Trey Yant doing Bruce Agler. Trey Yant, who was our general sales manager at one time. Trey Yant was the only person I really know who can do Bruce Agler really well. So I'm just doing Trey Yant doing Bruce Agler. So it's just one step removed. So I always got to wait for somebody else to do the impression, then I just steal it. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. Come back. CNN, former CNN radio correspondent and friend of the Rick Emerson Show, Gary Baumgarten, coming up. Later on, we got Steve Katzenbaum.
Sound from Wild Hogs.
Sound from Wild Hogs.
The only sound we have today.
So we're playing
we're
hundreds.
Savoring it.
We're playing hundreds of times. Like when you chew your food a little longer and there's just not quite enough of it. And we'll talk to Jim Roop as well, plus more of Jim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. He's there for Rick Emerson's show. So I don't think the Anna thing's done yet either. Because I just saw
I'm just getting kind of bored with it, though. I mean, it might not be done, but I'm kind of done with it.
Well, I will. I have some thoughts on that, Sarah Dillon. You know what I'd like is some chocolate Chex Mix. If only it wasn't all gone out of the machine.
Shouldn't have opened your big mouth. It's your fault because you told everyone how delicious it was, so they ate all of it.
The only thing gone. I take that back. The vending machine, every row has food in it except for the two that I want. One is the chocolate Chex Mix, the other is the chili cheese Fritos. Because Scotty purchased them all to make his, quote, tortilla soup, which he makes by taking them and dumping them into some Campbell's. All right. Let me make a note to myself here. Hold on. Anna, thoughts. I got thoughts on Anna Nicole, and not on the sort of meta thoughts, as the web kids say, not about her as such, but about the story itself and whether it continues to be viable for grist on the Rick Emerson Show. Also, Brittany, and we got to talk about that Sylvia thing. Sylvia. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program from New York. Friend of the Rick Emerson programming. And now, what is your actual... I always forget this. What is your actual title at Pal Talk?
News and Programming Director.
News and Program Director for PalTalk.com. Former CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten. Hello, sir. How you doing?
I am terrific. And how are you?
You sound well, my friend.
I am very, very happy.
I have to say this now. Word travels to the grapevine and so forth. And I'm sure you know that after a long struggle, they eventually they found a guy that they're slotting in to the New York gig. But I'm sure he'll blossom. He'll grow. He'll go on to do great things. He is no Gary Baumgarten, my friend.
Well, Steve Katzenbaum actually is a superb reporter. He comes to CNN Radio from 1010 Winds, the largest radio station in the nation, more listeners than any other station. It's the all-news station powerhouse here in New York City. He's a seasoned reporter. He lives in Brooklyn. He knows New York and its people, and I think you're going to be very pleased with him.
What a gentleman, what a class act you are. That I give you a perfect opportunity to disparage him and you don't take it.
I wouldn't disparage him, Steve. He's great. I think that, you know, I was wondering what was going on. It took them so long to find somebody to replace me, and I think they did their due diligence and waited until the right candidate came along, and I applaud my former employers at CNN for hiring Steve Katzenbaum.
We had him on yesterday, actually. He was actually really good. He was in the groove already and seemed to roll with the punches. So I think
it takes a while usually to really realize that this show is a little bit different than any other program that he will be dealing with. So I'm glad to see that he feels comfortable with you guys.
It is true. Hey, would you? I mean, at Pal Talk, because you guys, because it's such like an national and then international thing. Do you focus as much on the New York stuff? Because like you got the big thing of has Giuliani? Do you even know this? Has Giuliani even said? Is he officially running?
I can't. Yeah, he's running. And we've had guests on here to talk. Former aides of Giuliani on here to talk about who he is and the good things about him and the bad things about him. But I'm not just New York centric any longer. No, I mean, for example, the other day when Tony Blair announced that he was reducing the troop force in Iraq, I have my correspondents around the world that I've built up as part of my little network that I am building here. So we had reports from both England with reaction and from Baghdad. I actually have a guy in Baghdad, so it was very cool.
So really, so you are an overlord of news now. You have an army of news bots who do your bidding the whole globe over.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're actually doing my bidding, but they're bringing perspective to the chat on Pal Talk, and it gives us an opportunity to share with other people, one another's views, and it's very, very cool.
Fantastic. Well, if you ever need, if you need hundreds of pithy comments about Britney Spears and her head shaving, you know where to come, my friend.
I know. This is the place.
We've got you covered. What is this? Is it? And this is. We always talk to Roop about this, and I always say that like stuff that happens in L.A., it always happens here 2 years later, and it's same thing in New York. The thing in New York where there's a law or is it something they're getting ready to pass some. They want to pass some law that like bans. It's like the N-word ban.
The
whole city.
The city council is working on a non-binding resolution. This sounds like Congress telling the president he can't send 21,000 additional troops to Iraq. It's pretty meaningless, but to ban the N-word in New York, and it, what's really funny about this, ironically funny, I guess, is that when they held the first public hearing about this, and everybody who spoke against the use of the N-word, between the city council members and the people who testified,
you said it like 100 times,
over 50 times.
There
I
you
mean,
go.
Are you kidding me?
Bada bing! There you go, right, right there. Just the,
pretty stupid. But what's real interesting? I went out to Harlem and did some. By the way, I'm doing video reporting now on our internet site, so now you can see what I really look like, unfortunately. But I went out to Harlem to interview people about it, and I find that there's kind of a generational difference, that the older people are absolutely opposed to the use of the N-word under any circumstance, no matter the context. But a lot of the younger people who never were subjected to the pejorative scorn of white people who toss the word out like bricks, they feel that it's like a term of endearment when they greet one another, and they see nothing wrong with using it.
Well, I think the dividing line is hip-hop. I think people who came of age, the hip-hop generation, has less of a problem. Plus, I mean, let's be honest. I think the fact that maybe the younger generation, not like I can speak, not like Rick Emerson can say, but speak for the black community. But Rick will give you now the black point of view. It just seems to me that, A, there's the hip-hop, the hip-hop generation sort of views it differently because it is used so frequently in hip-hop. And, B, because I think the difference is, like, 50, 60 years ago, that was a thing that was used, I think, a lot more frequently by white society against black society now. But
right.
I think, you try to do that now, and some guy's going to put his fist right through your face. So
no,
I think
in my circle, I have never seen anybody, a white person, call a black person that name.
I know it was done,
but I don't think it's done much any longer.
No, you're going to go
home and say it amongst themselves. Yes, there may be white people who sit around the dinner table and use that word, where there are no black people around, but one would be very hard pressed to find, in my opinion, white people using that publicly against a black person, unless maybe Michael Richards.
Hey, you're going to go home with a busted skull. You're going to nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, So I got to tell you, and real quickly, we were talking about something different, but I did want to ask you this one follow-up question about Giuliani, just because you're a guy who knows so much about New York. We've been having this conversation about whether you've seen him not only as a citizen there, but as a news guy. Do you think he's going to make it very far in his campaign, or is he going to implode? Because he seems a little unstable. He's got kind of a temper on him.
Well, there are a lot of people who believe that he can't get nominated But perhaps if he were nominated, he could get elected. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think he's an excellent candidate, and I still stick with you, Rick, in thinking that the greatest, you know, for those of us who are political junkies, race, you know, I don't know whether it would be particularly good for the nation ultimately, but the greatest political race, the greatest presidential campaign would be a Giuliani versus Hillary Clinton.
Oh, it'd just be fantastic.
I would be in heaven.
Oh, dude, I mean, I would never need to prep again. I would just come in and just, you know, just come in and the phone lines would be lit by the time I walked in the door every morning.
That's right. It'd be great for your show and for mine on the internet. So it's amazing. And, you know, and I got a lot of things on my mind if you want to talk about it some other time about Hillary, because she's really managing the media, news media.
No, she,
unbelievably, she's controlling the message. And that doesn't really bode well for those of us who want to know where she stands on the
issue. Obama's doing it in a sort of different way. I've noticed that Obama's sort of taking this tack. And we'll be talking a lot about this in the future. But she's really controlling the message. But the thing that I've noticed that Barack Obama's doing is that he's kind of got this hit him back with both barrels kind of philosophy, where every time somebody tries to take a shot at him, he just puts it right back in their face. I mean, that guy's going to turn out to be a lot tougher, I think, than anybody has anticipated. I think
I think so too.
That guy's going to be landing some real strong rights on people. So,
but I do agree with those who are critical of the news media. They're kind of handling him with kid gloves thus far.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know.
It's all about him and his family. There was a beautiful slideshow about his family life that Time Magazine has on their website, and that's all well and good. But sooner or later, you know, we got to start talking about the issues. It's a little early, though. I mean, this is a two-year-long process.
It'll turn ugly. We're Americans. That's what we're good at.
That's so. Right. Exactly.
All right. From PalTalk.com, news and programming director and living news deity, Gary Baumgarten. All right, my friend. We will talk to you very, very soon, I am sure. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, my brother.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, there, Gary Baumgarten. Baumgarten. Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen. I always like trip on it not wanting to say CNN, because I was like, I've introduced him that way for like 5 years. We never addressed this. This is Jim. Jim! Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Jim. You call it a perfect time. You're bringing something that we didn't address. Ask you a question here.
Well, I wanted to find out how the saga ended with the fax going off yesterday and what took place today with regards to the circuit court.
So Sarah yesterday realized with not something akin to, but with actual horror, that she was supposed to be at jury duty today.
And you know what? The final thing is that when I got my jury duty notice, I remember, I also got my, $20 from that bitch who hit my car. On the same day from the same court. So because she hit my car, now I think that's why they picked me, because my name was in the file.
Yeah, so
because they sent it along with
it. Oh, it's time to give something back.
Yes, seriously. So the justice has helped you. Now you must repay your debt. I will ask you for a favor someday. So quite literally, there's just like nobody else that can do Sarah's just. Sarah's one of a kind, so there's no one else who can do what she does.
I would agree.
And so I called and I said, hey, no can do on the URJ thing, you know, and she's like, well, and the great thing about it is the woman at the courthouse, like, didn't even care. Like, I expected some uphill battle. I think that they're just so resigned to the fact that no one in this country wants to help out with anything. And I called and I said, hey, you know, I kind of work with her and she works on the show and it's not going to work. And I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. And she's just like, okay, right, write it down, fax it off, that's fine. And we faxed it off and it's all good.
Yeah, because we never heard back.
Which is fantastic, because I found out today that it's a minimum of 3 days in jail if you don't show up.
Oh, goodness.
So,
okay. Rick, I heard you when you were talking on the phone, but maybe while you were on the phone, you didn't hear what Sarah said. You know, she said something to the effect of, oh, when Rick wants to, he can be very professional. And hearing you in the background and talking to the person at the court and getting all your ducks in a row for,
yes,
you know, what to do, that was like the coolest thing that you rocked.
He really does. When you know, crap hits the fan and I need someone, you know, who can just talk very steadily, he totally can. That's what he did with the cell phone provider.
See, I don't even remember
he
that
totally
happening.
Did. You worked them.
You're more than just paper and plastic. Thank you, Tim.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not. It's not like I'm fishing for a compliment
to
have you tell me about it again. It's just... You tell me this story, and somebody else said that this story.
You take care of stuff.
And I just don't remember doing it. So, well, all right. Well, you know what it is? It's just that I've worked, like all of us here, I've just worked with enough people who talk like that that I can sort of mimic their style. Like, we've all worked with enough of those Bill Lumberg types. You know, where you talk about, well, we need to get on the same page, and what we're going to do is network some solutions so that we can overcome these hurdles, and we want to move forward with something that is proactive for the life group that is targeted by this media cluster.
And I don't even know what statement.
Yeah, I don't even know what the hell any of that means.
No, but
yeah,
no, you don't know what it means, but then you've taught me everything you know,
yeah.
And I don't really know what it means.
No.
We just all are pretending to be grown up.
You talk the walk.
No, as Michael Keaton said in the paper, a clipboard and a confident wave will get you into any building in the world. So if you sound as if you know what you're talking about, people will believe you. As living proof of that, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Proof, it is Tim Riley.
Well, Paris Hilton, busted by the cops after she was stopped for speeding and driving without her headlights. The hotel heiress and star of The Simple Life was pulled over on Sunset Boulevard in her blue Bentley Continental worth megabucks. She was on her way to buy some DVDs at the Virgin Megastore in West Hollywood after spending the day at home for a photo shoot, according to her publicist, Elliot Mintz, who lies to his teeth all the time. Hilton was issued a ticket for driving on a suspended license, a misdemeanor, and her beautiful Bentley was towed away. Apparently, the headlights went on because she had just left a parking structure that was brightly lit. A likely story. She was told by police she was stopped for not having the headlights on. Speeding was not mentioned, said Mr. Mintz. When she called me, she asked if her license was suspended. If that's the case, she and I are unaware of it.
You know, whatever happened, I thought Nicole Richie was going to be going to jail one of these days. Didn't Nicole Richie, didn't she get busted for DUI?
Yeah, she did.
Did she get convicted?
I don't believe so.
I thought she was charged with the DUI, but I don't think they've talked about her punishment.
No. All right. Oh, man, I just got the worst thing. I just got the worst thing in the email. Subject line, I figured it was a complaint. Subject line of this email, programming. As I'm reading this, it's one of those unsolicited pitches from somebody who wants to have a radio program aired here. And it's not who it usually is. It's not the person that you're probably...
It's not our special friend.
It's not our special friend.
We have some new ones.
It's apparently the Kathleen Show. Sarah?
Is she a rock and roll Republican?
Oh, God.
No, but she's like 80 years old trying to look 40. I'm looking at this.
Is it about sex?
God, I'm looking at this right here. This is from some radio program. They're pitching their garbage here, trying to get me to put it on the station. The Kathleen Show, grabbing life by the ovaries. I swear to God.
That just made me cringe and grab where my ovaries are.
How do you... Can I just tell you, I'm not even sure where that is. That's how dumb I am.
It's just so... I don't know. That sounds wrong.
I know this sounds crude. Can you show me where that is? I mean, is it
they're like right below your hip bones.
Okay,
right
so there. It's not...
They're
it's
in
not,
there.
It's not... I know they're inside. I'm assuming you don't carry them in a side pocket. You don't carry them in a handbag. Well, in any event.
Don't know where...
No, I mean, I know in a generalized sense. I know the same thing every guy knows. I know, like, yeah, I know.
A little bullhead.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. I know that thing that kind of looks, I don't even know what it looks like. How do I put this?
I don't know.
I could draw you a diagram of where the ovaries are and all that stuff, but I don't know where it is.
But if you had a diagram and then you had a picture of a person.
But if I had a diagram of a body, I couldn't pin the ovaries on the body because the only time I've ever seen them is in those science textbooks where it's with all the skin and the whatever stripped away and it's just the internal reproductive system. Like, if you were to show me, like, a woman from the outside and be like, where are the ovaries? Like, I would turn it to Scotty and just have... Supposed from the inside. I would have no idea where to put them.
Creepy.
I would have no idea. It's like your spleen. Where's your spleen?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I know what the ovaries sort of look like in relation to other stuff, but if, like, I had to pin something...
about ovaries?
No, because I'm going to tell you about the Kathleen Show, which is grabbing life by the ovaries.
I don't like that.
Are you, Tim, are you looking for weekend content that will grab listeners and advertising dollars?
No, because the only thing I listen to on the radio is the Dennis Pitstenberger Show.
Well done, sir.
Apparently, it's not just another radio program.
Oh, no.
It's the highlight of your week.
Apparently, Kathleen and her guests offer practical advice that all of us can use to improve our lives in what she describes as... This is how Kathleen herself describes her ovary-grabbing broadcast. It's a darned fun and inspirational hour.
Does she have hats and T-shirts by any chance?
No.
Oh.
Not a chance, sir.
Could he send you like an MP3?
Oh, please tell me there's a demo. Click here to listen to demo. Let me download that. We'll listen to it later.
Okay.
See what it sounds like when Kevin grabs
her. Why should we care?
Grabs her ovaries.
Are you really scared that she's going to say something we have to dump?
No. No, I'm not. One look at this woman, you know that she will never say anything that's objectionable in any way or interesting ever in any way. Let's see. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi. Best show ever so far. And
thank you.
Wisdom there about that confidently carried clipboard.
Oh yeah, no, that's from Michael Keaton. He says that in the movie The Paper, when he and Randy Quaid are getting into a police station where they're not supposed to be to talk to some suspects or to talk to a cop, and he just walks in the front. He has a clipboard under one arm and he just waves at the desk clerk and confidently and walks by. And he says a clipboard and a confident wave gets you any building in the world, which is true.
Well, I will attest to that because in my line of work, I have
tried at a government building.
Done that.
Yeah.
I have done that. And a confidently carried pizza box as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
People not open the door to a stranger unless it's carrying a pizza box.
Attention, thieves and killers. Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. All right. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, at long last, it's time for the sound bites from the Wild Hog.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
Now, if I still have them.
Uh-oh.
I do. Well, keep an eye on the road, because the Wild Hogs are zooming in the theaters. John Travolta, Tim Allen, Barton Lawrence, and William H. Macy are hitting the road in this new adventure comedy, The Wild Hogs. Tim Allen said he had no problem getting on a motorcycle for his role in this motion picture.
I've ridden bikes before, more sport bikes than English bikes, like Triumphs and BSAs, but this is the first time I really had a long time on a fat boy. You gotta like a bike of a fat boy.
Yes.
You gotta like the fat boy?
Seriously, who doesn't like riding a fat boy?
John Travolta says the friends are a little delusional about their rankings on the cool meter.
Four middle-aged guys going across country on their motorcycles, acting out their fantasy of being a little tougher than they are, a little hipper than they are, and getting in trouble for all that.
They're just looking
for trouble. They don't even know they're looking for trouble.
It's our thing.
Oh, this is nothing but crap.
It makes me want to peel my skin off.
I saw the saddest picture of him today. He was standing with his wife. He's wearing, like,
is
black...
Is that the Jerry Lewis head?
He's wearing a backwards black hat. Oh, it was so awful. And, like, faded black jeans trying to look hip next to his wife.
Well, it's for his street cred in Santa Barbara.
Who is the target audience for this film? I mean, who is it that they're...
Welcome back, Cotter fan.
For the Ron Polillo demographic.
It's for people who miss Home Improvement and any, like...
And those people are everywhere. And then William H. Macy. Like, he's the thing that doesn't belong in this. That's like that Frozen Peas commercial with Orson Welles that came out, like, in the 80s. There's William H. Macy, who's one of the greatest actors of the last 50 years. This makes no... I hope he's getting paid a lot of money. I really do. I mean, God love him. I hope he's getting paid well to be in this, because he really so many hundreds of notches above this film. I just don't know who the target audience for a movie like Wild Hogs is. I mean...
Scotty J.
Really, do you think? I mean, is that thing?
Totally on the way home from Home Depot.
It seems like a
middle-aged men who want to work out their repressed anger because they've decided to get married too young and pop out a bunch of kids.
Hello.
I'm just saying, I think that might be the
case. You just said, theoretically speaking, you're just offering sort of a vague assessment of the situation.
I mean, come on, it's a fantasy film for men who can't do that. Who want to escape but can't.
Who desperately wake up every day wishing that it was their last.
Who wish that they had four motorcycles and three friends.
The same kind of people who would be entering the competition that you're judging.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Mad in the door, watery hole.
God almighty. Okay.
Well, let's have a scene from this movie, shall we? In this scene, Dudley, who is William H. Macy, rides on the back of Woody's, who's John Travolta's motorcycle.
Woody, yeah.
Thanks, Woody. I feel really safe with you. I noticed that.
Let's give each other a rub down.
Ever lay your head on my back again when you're riding, I'll throw you in the traffic. I was just trying to keep the wind off my face.
I felt you smell my neck.
Guys, could
don't
we?
Don't you smell my neck?
Why smell that man's neck?
His cologne is fantastic. Gives me
and musky with an oaky finish.
I'm so embarrassed.
Holy God.
Lawyer cowboy.
Lawyer cowboy. That's just stupid.
Are you kidding?
This is the worst movie ever. This seems like the least funny thing that's ever been made. Rent it next week. Seriously, don't you
it's
wish...
It's like terrible acting. It's homophobic.
Seriously.
It's just some... Oh, man.
And I'm pretty sure they bleeped...
It'll play well in Peoria.
I think they bleeped the phrase writing bitch. I think that's what they were bleeping
there. Oh, is that what it was?
I think that's what that was. Let's listen to it again. Let's listen to it and revel in the unfunny
Act
once more.
Popular demand.
Thanks, Woody. I feel really safe with you.
I noticed that. And if you ever lay your head on my back again when you're riding, I'll throw you in the traffic.
So do this.
Yeah.
Men shouldn't touch each other ever.
Wind off my face.
I felt you smell my neck.
Guys, could we?
Did you smell that man's neck?
His cologne is fantastic. It's musky with an oaky finish. Like a lawyer cowboy.
It needs to be reworked.
Yeah, something needs to be put back into turnaround.
This group is unfocused.
I'm turning my dial down. All right, good God Almighty.
It needs a different ending.
Are there any more sound bites?
I'm glad that was greenlit. That was like
we're lucky to get those.
$40 million well spent.
Please don't ask for any additional sound bites today.
Of anything.
Ask me tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day.
I could go back and read these bag
cranking
emails.
Up, cranking up the old Model T, Johnny. Get a sound bite.
That's Rick. About paper bags. If you use the paper bag, don't eat the paper or touch it. My dad worked at the Boise Cascade paper mill, and he said the workers would enhance the paper pulp with every bodily substance you can think of. Make sure you think of this every time you touch paper. Any kind of paper.
Oh, good God. You know the popcorn I've eaten out of a paper bag, shaken?
Well, have a great day, Nate. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rick, this whole bag debate, which we ended a long time ago, is a crazy partisan debate, and based on your callers, almost as divisive as Republican versus Democrat. Please don't let this topic go on, because you're sure to get some hippie on the air talking about making bags out of hemp. Following that, there will be some guy who carries his groceries in sacks made of bald eagle heads. It's not a debate worth having. It was really worth it just to get to the bald eagle headline. All right. It's almost 1 o'clock. We got a break.
It is 1 o'clock.
Steve, it's 1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock. Well done. Oh, we haven't even played the Sylvia thing. Well, we'll do it after Steve Kastenbaum. That's what his name is. We'll get to that. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Daddy knows I wasn't talking about him, right?
Uh-huh. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We return momentarily.